Hey, it's Chris, and welcome to the Between Dreams podcast. This show chats with people who are out making things happen creatively and with their life. Today is a guest named Zach Mayfield, and I'm excited about this one because, and we were just saying this before, I'm particularly excited about today's episode because so many of the episodes are people that I'm like actually friends with, and not saying that we aren't friends, but
we're about to be.
Just aren't friends yet. That's just how it is. I reached out to you because I was watching some of your YouTube videos recently. And
yeah.
I was just saying how I've been getting some new cameras and stuff. And when you're in like the Sony YouTube camera world, you go down rabbit holes of and gear people and video creators. And it's like it is a bit of a community. So it was super cool to connect, and glad you popped on. And today's goal for chatting is really I wanted to kind of hear about what you're up to. Probably a little bit of your backstory, how you got into this world. You are in a studio right now. There's people working behind you. And
oh, yeah. This is my buddy Connor. He's editing some video right now. We do some work together on YouTube stuff. But yeah, man, I'm so excited. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so why don't we start off as a quick, you know, with not full life story, but quick, like, where did you... Because it's so fascinating because it's like... My audience here knows me because I started doing like circus tricks. I started learning how to juggle when I was a kid. And then
I've seen some of your juggling stuff, actually.
Yeah. So it's so fascinating because it's like I started in like juggling and then learned how to make videos by needing to make promo videos for my juggling, you know, show and stuff when I was younger. And then so it's always super fat because like everyone in video kind of like has a weird story of how they got there and everything, and no matter what we're doing creatively, and it's kind of culminates. So do you have a little bit of a backstory? Like, how did you end up here in a room on a podcast with people behind you editing videos with you? That's like the, and also that's like a good thing because you have to do everything, and that's a good segue.
Everything.
Eventually you get to a point where there's a man behind you editing videos for you.
Yeah, you might know him, you might not know him, but he's there. Yeah, so my story starts in a village of 300 people in Nebraska. So I grew up in this really small town called Hayter, Nebraska. And basically, it was, 300 people. And me and my sister discovered that our parents had this old Sony Handycam. And they never used it. So we had nothing to do in this small town. So we're like, okay, we got to make our own fun. Got to make our own creativity. So we just started making really crappy home movies. And I just, I fell in love with filmmaking and cameras ever since I was a little kid. And I kind of fell off like during high school and college and then realized I never wanted to work for somebody else because I hated that. So I ended up getting back into cameras like midway through college and then started my own business, which led me into a bunch of freelance stuff. And we can talk about Atlanta and stuff too because I worked there for about 2-3 years full time. And then now I'm full-time YouTube working on 2 channels. And here we are in my apartment that has an extra room that I make videos inside of.
Yeah, I love it. I love it because it's like one of the things that's interesting always is we have these like studios that look amazing. And my joke is always like, this studio here, like there's one corner that looks amazing. People are like, this is amazing. I'm like, if you only knew what I'm looking at on the other side
demolished.
Of there, it's just a nightmare. But I think that's cool of jumping into, as you said, like running this, like diving into YouTube world. What made you decide to do that kind of like I hate to call it the DIY world, but like come in kind of like, I'm doing this for myself because a lot of video people think that they have to work in Hollywood and on bigger sets. And there's a clear decision to make there. Am I going to like go after that and work on a 100-person set?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I going to work on my own stuff and kind of do it myself, my own YouTube way? How did that kind of come about?
Yeah, and I think with anything creative, it's obviously like a gradual process. There's not like one moment where you're like, oh, yep, I'm doing that. So for me, I was doing freelance stuff. I was living on my friend's living room floor in Kansas after college. And that was me like trying to get my video business off the ground. So like freelancing weddings, music videos for like small metal and rock bands. It was super fun. And then I was researching cameras similar to how you found me. And I saw this guy named Casey Neistat, which I'm sure you've heard a million people say they were inspired by him. But it was true. I saw this guy and I was like, wow, he's making home videos professionally. And I had always loved that home video quality of just like run and gun, like tell a story in one day or like make something on the spot that just feels homegrown. It's not super polished, you know? There's something beautiful about that to me. And so I was like, well, I'm going to try this. So I started my YouTube channel, and through just making a ton of crappy videos on YouTube, I actually developed my filmmaking skills way faster than I probably would without doing YouTube. So it really impacted my freelance work and my skill set. And then I was like, wow, I actually just really like practicing by making YouTube videos. Like, maybe I should just try YouTube. So that became the goal for me. I was like, my goal is to like escape the freelance world and go into this YouTube world, because it's just, I don't know, it just, YouTube feels like my home for my creativity. It just, it feels like the perfect plug for what I like to make. So I'm out here trying to make it. Like, my ultimate goal, I guess, is like make a living creating my own ideas, you know, not like making stuff for other people. I did have a lot of fun with that, but I'm so glad to be like starting to move toward making my own ideas a little bit.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, one of the things that I've been kind of thinking heavily about, and in that same realm of, you know, and again, Casey is obviously one of the, you know, the gold standard to think about it. And it's like people see Casey as doing vlogs and doing his own content. But one of the things that's like so cool about what he was doing is then leveraging that into like brand partnerships and getting it. It's like he can survive and do his own stuff just on YouTube. But I'm thinking a lot heavily about creators not being a camera operator or a videographer that can film something, because that's easy. You know, it's like anyone can go buy the latest Sony camera, spend, you know, 6 months learning how to operate it and be like pretty good
at
making good videos. But the idea of, I've been thinking, so like this is getting to the one of the theses that I've been thinking a lot about in intellectual property and your own ideas and bringing that to then brand. You know, one thing that I'm like working heavily on is like creating a bunch of different like shows that I call them, and they're just like series of, and I use my YouTube channel is like a mess because I use it as like, maybe I'll try this. I'll like do a mountain biking video one day.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a really bad strategy if you're trying to build an audience on YouTube because it doesn't work, but it's a really, really good strategy to just be like, Can I make a mountain biking video with a GoPro today and post it tonight?
Exactly.
And I don't care enough about my YouTube channel as far as like building the audience, but it's a playground for me to go play in the sand and go do something. And then from there, develop these like intellectual property shows. And now it's kind of interesting because that's what's interesting to brands and stuff. They're like, oh, you have this whole thing that's already done for us to maybe get attached to. So I love that model of owning your own universe rather than, because we all have seen, you know, video production companies that'll just say yes to, we'll show up and shoot your corporate video. And it's like, you can probably make a good living like that. But I have a feeling most people listening to this show are like, I want to do this for more than just making a couple bucks showing up and
exactly
making videos.
That's actually so cool that you brought this up, because I've been internally wrestling with these ideas for like the past 2 weeks specifically, because I treated my YouTube channel in the beginning very similarly to you. It's a playground where I just go experiment and make whatever I want, and I was having a lot of fun. And then I started to kind of pursue the camera YouTube world just to build some consistency. And it started working like a year or two ago. Like, I started gaining a small audience. Like, my channel's not big by any means, but now I feel like the YouTube algorithm gods have determined me as like a camera creator. And it's like, dude, it feels so limiting sometimes, because I'll have this idea for a video and I'm like, whoa, that feels big. That feels really fun. Like, I'm going to review all of Hilary Duff's albums and make a whole documentary about it. And then like my YouTube brain's like, nope, that won't work with the algorithm. Like, YouTube will suppress it. Like, it's not a camera video, all this stuff. But you saying that is actually kind of brings me some peace, because I've been wanting to dive back into that playground style of just like being a kid, just making what I want to make, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's no pressure on that channel. I can just do whatever I want.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you balance that of, so as you just said, you're kind of battling it right now. So what do you think as far as, what do you think? So if some, you know, again, this show kind of has a little bit of people come to listen to this because they're like, I want to do this and I want to hear from people who are doing it. And I think it's a real, and something that I battle really a lot because I see people who blow up by doing some, by doing tech reviews. And I'm like, I could totally do that. And I could be, I could have a huge amount of followers. But then I'm like, well, there was some reason why I didn't do that. I don't want to like beat myself up because like there was some reason, like, I did four of those videos in a row. And then I was like, I hate this. I, you know, not that I hate doing it, but like, I hate doing this only. And I want to go ride my bike and film it. But I can't have like nine YouTube channels either of like all of the things that I want to do.
Release one video per year on each channel.
Hope for the best.
No, for real. So actually, yeah, I'm in the process of figuring out how to balance it. That's a great question. You're challenging me right now. But so I started doing like those camera videos consistently in 2020. And then I actually got a job offer to run a camera channel. So I got hired as basically a contractor to do one video a week on this camera review channel. So that is how I transitioned into full-time YouTube from freelance filmmaking. So that was like a big jump. I was like, yes, I get to make YouTube videos and that's it. And now I'm facing this current struggle. But I think the biggest limitation right now for me is myself, because I have the freedom on my personal channel, the one you found, to make whatever I want. So I think I need to kind of do what you're doing, honestly, and just make stuff. Why is it hard? Why is it hard? It's so weird.
Yeah, it's like, I think there's something, again, one of the things that I've just been really seeing is like that, the two sides. So my personal struggle with it, I hate to call like making videos on YouTube a struggle because people have proper problems. But the personal struggle that I have is that so many cool things happen because of a random video that I posted that got 75 views in the first 3 months. And I'm like, that's a fail. You know, it's like YouTube, very much a fail. You know, 75,000 views on a YouTube video is like, well, yeah, go back to your, you know, good job. Get like, call us when you have a real channel. It's like, I have friends who have millions of subscribers and it's like, and they battle the same thing. And there's something appealing about like, it doesn't matter if it's 75 views, 7,500, 75,000, 75 million views. All right. No one's complaining about that. But like until you get there, everyone's like, it's just not really, it's stuff's not clicking. I'm like, I have friends that are like just consistently getting 200,000 plays per video. And they're like, yeah, it's just like not really clicking anymore.
Something's not working.
I'm just like, what are, like, that's like, you know, it's crazy, but it's so valuable to remember that. And it's like, this is circling back into kind of all of what we're talking about. It's so valuable to remember that. But then also, as I said before, of like, there's so many videos that I have, and I have like a few like ideas brewing even with brands that like they're interested because the video's good, not because there's a bunch of views. It's not like they're not hiring me as an influencer. They're hiring me because they're like, oh, that was actually really cool.
Yeah, you made a great video. You're a good creator. Yeah. That's what they saw. Those are the people you want to work with anyway.
Yeah, because it's like a lot of people have big audiences, but less people have good content, I think.
there's a lot of poop content out there, dude.
Yeah.
A lot of poop. You, in your email to me, the first email you sent me, you found one of my color grading videos. And that's like usually never what I make.
Yeah.
I actually made that because somebody in my Discord server was like, hey, how do you color grade your Sony footage? I was like, I'll just make you a video. So like, we wouldn't be hanging out right now if I wouldn't have just made that simple video. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's worth more than a bunch of views.
Yeah, that's right. Because before I was trying to remember which video I initially saw. And I think it was that, yeah, because it was like I got the FX3. I don't want to go, I'm trying to restrict myself from going down like camera thing.
Yeah.
People are going to just like turn off. You start doing like numbers.
We won't go into gear chat.
Start adding A's and Sony's and people are like, yep, I'm out.
Yep.
But yeah, like that was cool because I was like looking up stuff, and then it was totally that. And when before we started recording, I told you there was I was like, we'll save it for the recording. And there was this like winter, I was walking around Atlanta like in the woods, and I was like really I was like really frustrated because there was just like gray leaves everywhere, and I was like, this looks terrible. I was like so angry. I was just literally angry. And it was like, because I lived in Los Angeles for a few years, and it was just awesome. You go outside and you just point the camera
just
at the sun,
and beautiful.
And you're like, yep, cool. Like, wait till the afternoon, kind of point the camera towards the sun, get some lens flares, and people are like, whoa,
you're
how'd you
go.
Do that? I was like, I moved to Los Angeles.
I moved.
and I had this, like, such a frustrated moment. And then I saw one of the videos, I forget which one, you guys were, like, walking around, and it was, like, in this gray woods. And I was like, I don't even care. Like, you guys, you didn't be like, oh, it doesn't look epic outside today. You were like walking around. I forget which one. You were talking about something. You were just like chatting with the camera. And like,
I was probably talking about like a lens filter or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, this like, I don't want to say it doesn't look good, but it wasn't. You wouldn't like walk outside and be like, whoa, look at these beautiful dead leaves on the trees. We should totally
just
shoot
gray
something.
And brown.
Yeah, and but if that was inspiring to me because I was like, okay, I don't need to go to Los Angeles where it's perfect like thing, and that was really resonating with me. And then I was like, this looks like we're on the East Coast in the winter. And then that's what I was like, oh, cool, because it's like so. It's sometimes like I'm like, oh, all these new people like either out in LA or I just left.
Right.
And it's cool hearing when people are like, yeah, like especially doing something. But that was the story that I didn't tell you before that I said I wanted to save towards for us to record because I saw that you went out and did something in when there was dead leaves outside. You didn't like wait like, oh, we got to wait 3 months to make this video when the leaves are green again.
I know it'd be ideal to just live in like Paradise Valley, Montana or something. But we get what we get. We don't throw a fit. We just have a good time with it. And yeah, that's how, I mean, you talking to you, I found out you live in the Atlanta area and I live in Nashville. So we're only a few hours apart. Yeah. We got to hang out in real life sometime.
Yeah, totally.
That would be great.
Well, yeah.
And we can go film some dead leaves or something.
Yeah, we have to wait until the fall though, because we're recording this right now. And it's like all the blooms are out. And then as a point, we have to wait until the leaves are dead and prove that we don't need green leaves to make cool looking
challenge
stuff.
Ourselves. That's awesome.
So you were, again, before we recorded, you said you kind of like were, you did some work in Atlanta, and then you mentioned that a second ago, and also been kind of kicking around. How about that? It's just I grew up in Pennsylvania, kicked out to Los Angeles, bounced over to Atlanta, and I have I have some cool just like ideas of like bouncing around to different places. What was that like for you, kind of kicking around, especially maybe coming from like a tiny place and then you know, and ultimately now ending up in Nashville, which is a legit city?
So I got quite the bouncing story. I won't make this too lengthy, but so I actually toured for 5 years in a metalcore band. So this was after college. Well, I actually dropped out of college to do this. So I was doing freelance video and touring like 6 months out of the year for 5 years. So I bounced around the whole country, and I was living in Kansas and dating a girl long distance for 6 years, and she lives in Nashville. So that was ultimately the reason why I moved to Nashville. But basically through playing music with a bunch of bands and stuff, I met some freelance filmmaker guys in Atlanta at some shows. I'm trying to remember the name of the venue in Atlanta. It's like legendary. Why can't I remember this right now? It's got Heaven, Hell, and Purgatory.
Masquerade.
The Masquerade, yeah. Dude, such a cool venue. But I met some great guys in Atlanta that kind of took me under their wing and just like taught me how to be a professional, because I was this grungy dude with long hair living in a van. But yeah, so I ended up like traveling to Atlanta multiple times a week for a couple of years to do like commercial gigs and music videos with them and stuff. So I love Atlanta, man. It's busy and traffic's crazy, but it's a good place. I got some great friends there.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, Masquerade is a fun place. I had a crazy, same thing, kind of a crazy connection of knew somebody, my friend Jeff, who lived up in New York. Worked with him on a juggling gig, like an old like emo show that there was like this like emo tour that was an emo pop punk tour, and they wanted it was like an all day festival, a couple shows, and they wanted somebody like in between the acts to do like tricks and stuff. This is like
the emo juggler,
2012, I think.
Nice.
So, you know, 10 years ago almost. And I had like a manager who also represented music acts, and I was like the weird. He was like, yeah, I'll represent you, I guess. Like, you do juggling shows.
The juggle guy.
And, yeah. And then it like turned into people were like, this is awesome. Cause like no other agents represented jugglers. And they were like, can he like do tricks between the bands? Cause like between the bands, there's nothing going on. And people were bored. And they were like, yeah, sure. And
I love that so much.
It was funny because like I was like more expensive than the bands too, because they didn't know how much it's supposed to cost.
Just rack up your day
rate. Yeah, they're like, we know bands will come out for $300. Sure, you know, it's like, but they're like, we don't know how much jugglers cost. My agent would just always quote like really high price. They're like, I don't know what jugglers cost, so sure,
take it. Dude, that's amazing. I would have killed to have a juggler between our sets back in the day. Oh my God.
I have to look up what the lineup was. It was some cool, some actual like bands that I loved, and it was cool. But anyway, point being, this is a roundabout story, but it's fun. And it relates to this like weird connections and doing weird things. And then it circled back 10 years later. But he's now like the marketing director or something of The Masquerade down here in Atlanta. And then like I moved to Atlanta, and then I'm like producing some like little like acoustic concerts and stuff down here, because we film acoustic things here at the space. And it turned into us doing a handful before the pandemic kicked in. We did a handful of show, like acoustic shows at The Masquerade, because I had an in there because of that. And again, long story, but I think there's such a cool thing of that, of this thing, of all of these things of you never know. But I like jumping in and doing something and starting something that doesn't make sense, doing the juggling show at the
and just pursuing it and seeing what the hell happens.
Yeah, and it's so that really like sparked a bell in my mind, especially after you said The Masquerade. The thing of like you never know with like the YouTube channel, just trying something and doing this, and then it's like doesn't work, but like 10 years later on Facebook you're like, oh yeah, I think he's in Atlanta.
Yeah,
and then there's something crazy that kicks in there, and you're just like, oh man, there's no way that I could have like planned or knew that something this crazy would ever work out.
Yeah,
so I love that.
So when I was living in Kansas, which is where I lived before Nashville, I was in the beginning of my YouTube channel. I probably had like a few hundred subscribers, and I made this shitty vlog called I'm Moving to Nashville, and just like kind of told the story of like why I'm leaving to like go live in the same city as my girlfriend that I've been dating forever. And through that video, a guy in Nashville found me, and he's the guy who ended up giving me my job this past year as the full-time YouTuber, like running this camera channel, which like, it's just crazy. Like, if I never would have made that dumb little video, I never would have met that guy. And now I have this guy in the background of my shot. He worked on that channel too. It's like I met two of my closest friends just through making that one simple moving video. It's like, it's just crazy what making can do. And that video still probably has like 300 views total, you know? But it's like, there's a piece of history there now. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I love that, because that's the same with what I was saying. It's like, yeah, a video that gets 75 views, 100 views, 1,000 views, you know, by all standards of, you know, success on the internet, that's not a big runaway hit. But then it's so, for me, I always, and whenever I talk to anybody, I'm always, well, they're like, oh, this only got, you know, 5,000 plays or something. I'm like, or 100 or 75 or 18. I'm like, imagine having a party in your yard and like 75 people come and hang
out
with you for like
baby.
Even 8 minutes of the length of a you know, you're like, that's crazy.
They all show up to watch your video. You're like, oh my God, I'm nervous.
Yeah.
75 people. That's like almost a theater.
Yeah. And that's like what always keeps me going, and I always hope that it inspires people that are like, you know, 20 videos into their YouTube channel and it's like nothing clicked yet. I'm at like 400 videos on my YouTube channel, and like,
oh same,
there's
man.
One that has over 100,000, but like the average is probably like 200 views per video, you know, because it's just that's what it is. And one of them got, you know, 120,000. That's like my biggest video ever. And the same thing, it was like by accident. That's like a funny story as well. That was kind of by accident, which sparked the whole like five video series on my channel, because I'm like chasing after. I'm like, oh, more videos like that.
Oh, go.
And then it doesn't work because I'm trying to chase the, you know, trying to do the thing that I'm trying to do the thing that doesn't work, but I love that. That's so good. Hearing that is like, I know that's going to resonate with people. They're like, oh, yeah, make a video that might not like look like, but one person can give you a job or introduce you to somebody or get a, you know, or whatever, or build a partnership, a relationship with somebody who will help you do something. It's crazy.
Yeah, I made that. That travel vlog, me moving to Nashville, that guy saw, emailed me, and then we just have stayed in touch for years since then. And he was kind of just like watching me in the background, like continue to make videos on my tiny little YouTube channel. And actually me continuing to, like you said, like press through even when the views are low, that's what proved to him that I would be good to take his job when he left the company and the channel. Because he was like, I know I can count on Zach too. To make one quality video every week for this channel. So yeah, it's just worth like continuing, you know, develop your skills and your work ethic, because you never know who's watching. Even if it is that one right person, like it could literally change your life like it changed mine. Just, it's so bizarre. I'm still like, it's still new to me to be doing this too. So like, I got to remind myself all the time, like, dude, this is a blessing. Like I'm just, I'm making videos in my undies, in my separate bedroom. This is pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that story. So what is the next, you know, it's like in a world, especially now where we're all kind of like, you know, the idea of a five-year plan is like, who knows? I don't even know what, you know, because stuff changes. So, like technology, even, like, I don't know. Like you can't be like, I'm going to be a TikTok star 5 years ago.
Right.
You know, because there's no way.
Didn't exist.
But jumping in and doing that. But that being said, is there anything on your, and we'll kind of like start to tie this up here. I promise to keep these short. And if we feel like we need to do an extended, we'll hop back on for another round two. But that being said, of like, it's impossible to have a five-year plan in 2021 and probably for the rest of history. Is there anything like on your radar as far as innovation and thinking about things? Because I'm personally like, I'm like, I need 360 cameras and to be learning about AR and VR, because whoever figures that out is going to like win. You know, it's like we can't be the person that's trying to make normal videos. And, you know, in 7 years from now, it's going to be like, yo, who's the old guy with the Sony mirrorless camera over there?
Oh, what a
thinking
dork.
He's cool.
That's me and you. That's my five-year plan. Just be the dork. No, honestly, man, like I said I've been like kind of in this black hole of brainstorming for the past 2 weeks. And this podcast, doing this with you, is actually kind of giving me some clarity. But my plan for the foreseeable future is continue working on my main camera channel, which is called Kinotika, by the way. It's one video a week on there. And since I'm blessed with like some stability from that, I'm going to do kind of what you're saying. I'm going to kind of like get back into the sand and start playing again on my channel. And I have this idea for a series. I'm flying to Nebraska, to my little hometown of 300 people next week. And I wrote this script for like this weird, I don't know what kind of video it is yet, but it's kind of like this vlog documentary. Like there's some sketch elements, there's some kind of serious like nostalgic elements to it. And I just kind of want to like try to make something that's new for me, like not replicate what anybody else is doing, not care about the views or the analytics or whatever, and just kind of like bring all of my filmmaking skills to the table, but also like that homegrown YouTube vibe. And just see what happens from that. You know, like maybe it's one of those videos that nobody cares about for 10 years, but I don't know. I'm excited about it. We'll see what happens.
Cool. Love it. Well, hopefully that inspires other people to be, oh yeah, I've been thinking about doing this video. And that perfection, there's something about it is like thinking, like waiting to be perfect or waiting for a new camera that's going to come out next year so that you can do the video. It's like,
Yeah,
that one person that sees the moving to a new city video like isn't going to see it unless you make it. And the person that's going to see your microphone review, or maybe even the brand of the microphone or the camera that then is going to turn into some crazy relationship, they ain't going to see it if you don't make it.
Yeah. Yeah, just make it. Do your best with what you have. It's like, that's kind of cringy to say at this point because everybody says it, but there's a lot of people that, like, I think still need to hear that a lot. It's like, even if you just have your iPhone, which you probably have, like, you can make some good stuff with that thing if you're creative.
Yeah. Love it. So let's tie this up. And I think that what we just said was the punchline of everything we've been talking about today. Let's tie it all up. If you had something to say, maybe to your younger self that was a little bit less confident and in your abilities and not sure and more in that world of, I want to do this thing, but I'm just not sure how to take the first step or if I should take the first step, or somebody who maybe wants to start a YouTube channel or they've posted 3 videos and they didn't quite work out as well. Somebody in that world where they're like, yeah, I really want to do this, but I just, there's something that's holding them back. What do you have in a minute or two to share with them to hopefully help them over that little hurdle that they need a little boost over?
Yeah, I think there's 2 things that I would probably tell myself, and I'm learning these through therapy. I highly encourage therapy for anybody out there because it's super just healthy to get counseling for your brain and your soul. But one thing I'm learning is that discomfort creates growth, and I'm so freaking bad at that because I love my bubble. I love to stay inside my comfort zone and not venture too far out. But when I do take a step out of my bubble and kind of challenge myself, whether that's creatively or relationally, whatever, like that's where I see growth. And then when I finish that thing, it's just like there's that feeling of satisfaction and reward. It's like I overcame, and I think it makes you stronger. And then the other thing is just like, I think with today's media and all the opportunities we have, age doesn't really matter anymore. Like I've seen people start YouTube channels in their 50s and 60s and I watch them, I'm like, you're so cool. This is awesome. Like you make great stuff and you're not worried that you didn't start when you were 20 or 30 or whatever. Like you can just do it whenever you want and enjoy it. So
yeah.
That's all I got.
Nice. I love that. With a little bit, I saw your Philip Bloom, speaking of, you know, because I just saw him posting this week because he was like, because he's feeling the same thing. He's like, I can't, you know, I saw him, the Instagram post or something where he was like talking about his birthday and.
He's a legend.
And and it's like he's still, you know, it's like, and it's so fascinating with something like, tie this all up. Shout out to Philip Bloom, of course.
Yes.
Because. I don't think most of us, well, we would have found our way, but the internet and solo creators would be very different without him kind of paving, even before Casey, you know, Casey was obviously doing it, but as far as like YouTube and thinking about cameras, it's like Philip showed a lot of people what you can do with a small camera that you can have in your backpack before anyone else was really talking about it, you know, with the Canon, the Canons first, and then the Sony's, his nighttime, the original A7S.
Oh,
it's like, that's
so
like
good.
Legendary video. I watched it recently,
so cool.
And it like has way less views than I thought it had. Because I was this like changed this. Like people were like, oh, Sony's can do this crazy thing. And like you think it's going to be like this runaway. Obviously, it's a successful video, but it doesn't have nearly as many as you would think for being like this legendary video.
And for all of you viewers out there, if you don't know who Philip Bloom is, he's an amazing filmmaker who makes YouTube videos kind of on the side about cameras and filmmaking. But his quality is like still setting the standard today in the filmmaking YouTube space, in my opinion. Like, I don't think there's anyone better in the camera space.
Yeah.
And he's creative, cinematic, funny. Like, just everything I like is in a Philip Bloom video. So check Philip Bloom out. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He's very nice.
He's the best. Well, cool. Thanks to you as well for pushing and making things happen, even though I know there's some days when you don't feel like doing it, but that's what it's all about, is getting in there, making happen. And I need to get a trip out to Nashville and do a hangout, and we'll make some videos.
Yeah, man. Thank you. thank you so much for having me on the show. And I come to Atlanta still here and there to hang out with my filmmaking friends there. So
cool.
Next time I'm in town, I'll hit you up. Maybe we can get some pizza or something.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. That sounds great. Sweet. Well, thanks
cool, man.
To you. What quick shout out to your stuff where people can find more of the YouTube and Instagram or wherever else you want to send people before we end.
Yeah. Okay, so check out my two YouTube channels if you like camera stuff and a dorky blonde guy. We have Kinotika, it's my camera channel, and then Zach Mayfield, it's just my name. That's where I'm playing in the sand. And then my Instagram is also Zach Mayfield. So hang out with me there. Would love to chat with you. Thanks for listening to us speak.
Sweet. Thanks so much. Thank you guys watching and listening at home. If you are listening on a player that allows reviews, we would love to have you submit a review.
And 5 stars, baby.
5 stars. Well, no, whatever. Okay, but whatever you guys.
That's mine.
Whatever review you guys would like is okay. We're not gonna. We're no pressure. But
no pressure here.
You
my
heard
review,
it,
though.
But we have a 5-star in the house.
5 stars.
All right. See you guys.
Bye.
Nice.
Cool.